CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Girl Like You, it's Maroon 5 with Cardi B. Cardi B! Love that woman. There was a video clip I saw on the internet the other day of Cardi B. She's doing a music video, and she's got a cheetah on a leash sitting next to her. And then the cheetah hisses at her, and she shits herself. She jumps back, and she's like, "Wow, I don't want to be standing next to this thing." And the cheetah's like,
Cardi. There's a lot going on in her life right now. She was arrested briefly a couple of days ago.
What for? Because... Love her.
Okay, let's go trash talk right now.
Yeah, go.
She was arrested a couple of days ago because her husband, who's a rapper, was performing at a strip club. And she heard that two of the strippers were getting mighty, mighty too close to her husband for her liking. So she sent one of her people out to go and beat the strippers up and potentially kill them.
Right.
So Cardi, in all of her rap genius, was also just arrested for putting a murder out on two harmless strippers. And that is 5 seconds on Cardi's life.
Jeez, she's a machine, huh?
The scene Cardi's for classy at this point.
You know, we haven't checked in on this man for a long time, but I'm very pleased he's in South Africa again visiting and hopefully catching up with a whole lot of people. He managed to find some time in his schedule to come and talk to us too. Brett Levy is one of the founders of what was one of our first shows, Futurology.
Yep.
It was a show about technology and about all kinds of big ideas and where we're headed and great advancements in human discovery and all the rest of it. And Brett was there from the get-go. It was his show. He moved to Australia, what was it, 2 years ago?
Nearly, 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
I think it's 19 months now.
And now he's in Straya.
Straya,
and
mate.
He's got his own new podcast, and we thought we'd check in with him this morning. It's always nice to see you, dude, and it has been a while.
It has been good. Thanks for having me, Sia. Good to see you as well.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Sia sends me a text, just in case, here's the address, you know. It's like I was here once a week for, what, 2 years? But thank you for that.
We haven't gone that long, mate.
We haven't moved yet.
Yes.
So we'll be sure to let you know if we do. But yeah, how are things going?
Yeah, awesome. I mean, yeah, it's weird to be back. In fact, I've been trying to find a way to describe it. And the only thing that comes to mind is, do you remember the band Blind Melon with the little girl wearing the bee outfit? And she runs around the music video like lost.
What was their song?
I don't know, and I can't sing. It's like, all I can do.
No Rain.
No Rain.
That's right.
And then eventually at the end, she finds all the little other bee people. You know what I mean? And
is that how it's worked for you?
That's how it feels for me now, you know?
I'm like, now you've made me think of this song. Hang on a second.
I got it in your head now. You have to cue it up.
Yeah.
There we go. Dan, dan, dan.
This is so 90s, huh?
Giving away my age.
Yeah, I know this. All I can do is just pour some tea for two.
But now, do you want to hear the funniest thing? I mean, just to compound that, I'm borrowing a car, right? Because I obviously don't have one.
Hold on.
All I can say is that my life is pretty plain. I like watching the puddles gather rain.
Wow, this is a real flashback. Hold on, Brett. Your story's great, but this is important. Just the chorus, and then we'll get back to you, right?
I just want someone to send me.
Great song.
There we go. Wow. 90s flashback.
You've never heard that in your life, Sia.
I didn't know he was born.
I'm like, no. Like in my brain, not at all.
All right, so you're back. You feel like a bit of a stranger in your own backyard, and you've borrowed a car.
So I get to the petrol station.
Yeah.
I get out.
You could not believe the price of petrol.
Well, it's nearly as... Ours is actually up there. It varies. We're unregulated. So you can go from 140 to 170. So 14 rand to 17 rand within a road.
Oh, wow.
And we have an app that tells us where the best price is, of course. And they give us coffee. Like, if you come here, you'll get a coffee.
Yeah.
If you go there, you get a donut.
Oh, you know? So they lure you in,
yeah.
All right, so you're in this car.
So I get out, and I try and figure out how to open up the petrol cap, and I can't. So I go back, and I look for the little lever, because it's one of those. And by the time I get back, I'm about to put my hand on the pump. And the petrol car's looking at me like, you know, and now?
You have to fill up your own car. Correct. In Australia.
So I look at him and go, oh. And he goes, but what you doing? You know, like this. Like, and I've got a South African accent, so I should know better. I'm like, sorry, mate, but yeah, this is what we do. He goes, how? But yeah, it's good to be back. First of all, the weather's been amazing for me this week. It's raining like nonstop in Sydney at the moment.
So you're in Sydney, which is actually like the nicest city in Australia. I mean, people say to me it's very cosmopolitan, it's very interesting, it's modern, it's, you know, it's exciting.
It's also overcrowded.
Is it?
Oh, it's terrible. You feel claustrophobic. I know you love New York. I love New York. It's like being
in
New York.
Leaving tomorrow for New York.
Oh, there we go. It's really dense. And, you know, in your peak hours, it takes me like 40 minutes to do 5 kilometers.
Oh, boy.
It's just
horrible.
That, you know.
What's public transport like?
It's fantastic. I use it all the time. I've got a bike, like as in a motorbike.
Oh, yeah?
I've got my midlife crisis bike.
Just careful. You're going to die.
Probably.
All people on motorbikes eventually die. Rather,
you know, that all people that drive cars also die eventually. As well. In fact, everyone dies of it. It's quite weird.
Fact.
Yeah. All countries.
Yeah, you're right. Damn, I never thought about that.
But the public transport is amazing. Yeah. You can go out after work and have a drink or 10, because that's the Aussie thing to do, and then just fall into a bus.
Are they still very pedantic about drinking, though? I mean, I've heard that they've got very strict rules. They want your ID.
Oh, yeah, they can't have shots after 12.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then there's certain rules, like you can get
license. Rules.
Yeah, it's rules.
No shots of any kind after midnight.
Unless you've used Tinder, no shots of any kind after. No shots.
You can drink at home, though.
And they do. Yeah. The Aussies can drink.
Binge, huh?
I mean, in fact, there's one pub that's 24 hours, and all the tradies go there. So they abbreviate everything as tradies.
Tradies are people in the trade.
Correct.
Those are people like carpenters.
Yeah, but they're not electricians.
And plumbers.
Because those are sparkies.
Sparkies.
Yeah. Kind of a sparky.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
And then you drive your ute, which is a utility vehicle. Everything's abbreviated, yeah? Everything.
Everything.
I wish you a good Arvo for an afternoon.
Oh, no.
We're going to come to my place and eat chook.
And the
chicken.
The service stations are servos.
Everything is abbreviated. And even names. They battle with mine because you can't make mine shorter. You can make it longer. It's Bretty.
Bretty.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's mad.
Call you Sia. They'll call you Sia something.
Well, they'll just call you C. Yeah. Hey, CEO.
With that delightful accent.
Oh, no, it's a terrible. My son's starting to get the accent. Oh. It's horrific.
How old is your son?
12.
Oh, that must be painful.
He's picking it
up. Oh, that must be painful.
You hear this. coming through. I'm like, oh, man.
You get that out of your mouth right
all
now.
All right, but let's talk about the good things, because there are a lot of people who I know who've moved to Australia who love the place. They really do. They think
I won't lie. I love the place.
I have. Sure. You wouldn't be staying there if you didn't.
It's not
like you did this and this is your only option. Some people choose to move. Some people move because they don't have an option.
No, right? I chose.
And then some people, obviously, when they get there, they don't
come
have an
back
option.
Quickly.
Well, some people can't. To be honest, they've spent all their money.
That's what Perth's for. So we say that if you can't make it all the way back to South Africa, you've got enough money to get to Perth.
So have you been to Perth?
No.
I've heard Perth is pretty awful.
It's Bloemfontein.
Yeah, but I've heard Sydney's very, very cool. There's a lot going on there. Yeah. And Melbourne's not too bad either.
I like Melbourne. Melbourne's very cosmopolitan. It's very food, coffee, culture.
Yeah, it's sort of more sophisticated.
Yeah, they still wear black suits there. It's very British.
All right, and Brisbane?
I like Brisbane. Brisbane's like Durban.
Okay.
It's very laid back. Right. Weather's better. Everything's
Gold
warmer.
Gold Coast?
The Goldie.
Yeah,
there we go. The Goldie for the oldies. The Goldie for the oldies.
Oh, there's a lot of old people.
Yeah, on that side. And then you get Surfers Paradise, which is all the druggies. So you've got the oldies and the druggies.
Druggos.
Well, I think the druggies steal the old people's medication to stay lit.
Wholesome combination there.
You see, every country has their little thing. Right?
Yeah. Look, it is.
So what else is nice about it?
So first of all, let's start with the one more bad. The internet there is terrible.
What?
We have a thing called the NBN, National Broadband Network.
Yeah.
It's a farce. It's crap.
Do you have slow internet?
Terrible internet.
Worse than here?
100 times worse than here.
Wow.
I would never have guessed that. It is horrific. I have a 50 meg line at home, apparently fiber. Now, the fact that it's joined with a copper cable, and remember, I'm a techie, it just goes down. I get, if I'm lucky, I get 25 megs down. and I get 4 up. Now, for those that don't know, so you upload, need the up to stream.
Sure, and 4 megs is, you can't do anything with that.
It's not that's expensive.
That's
but
like
it's
those old
ADSL. However,
we used to have.
A saving grace is mobile. So mobile and the mobile packages are really cheap. I got the, I have to break, I got the new iPhone XS.
Oh.
I pay $90.
What's it like, by the way?
It's amazing. If you've got the 10.
Here's your Futurology job back.
Yeah, if you get the 10 or if you have the 10 and you look at this, it's like double the speed.
Really?
It's insane, this device.
Kind of worth like, it. Kind of like the 10.
Yeah. No, this is insane.
Okay.
I did a speed test with someone who had the 10. Like, we opened apps, but it destroys it. It's amazing. The battery's much better.
All right.
But I pay $90 a month, R900.
Yeah.
Unlimited calls, unlimited text, 50 gigs of data, and then Netflix, Google Play, iHeartRadio, which is the podcast in that, is data free. 700 international minutes.
So how do they get that right with shitty local fiber?
So they their network is good. So their 4G network, their telco network is good. It's just their landline network is terrible.
So maybe they just don't care about landline.
No. But you need it at home. So, but then on to the good things.
All right.
Apps. Everything runs on apps. So you can imagine I'm in heaven. I mean, it's
well, you said you can fill up at the right servo.
Right servo.
Because you know which one's charging the least money.
Yep. Well, we've got apps for that. Then everyone, you know Waze?
Waze.
So we have a petrol version of Waze where we share local petrol prices. And then they reward you for sharing the price. Because the price is outside. So you
upload
the
price. Yeah.
And you get points. And the points get you into a draw. And the draw can get you some free petrol Coke.
That sounds good.
The trust thing is quite interesting. And you can see this working here. So remember I said we fill up our own petrol, right?
Yeah.
You pull in, you lift up the pump, you fill up your petrol, and then you walk in and go and pay.
And they don't check.
And if you choose to get in your car and drive off, I mean, there'll be a camera or 20, but that you don't have to pay before you pump.
That's amazing. So you go in. It's almost like an honor bar.
It isn't. Well, our shops are the same.
What?
Self-checkout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I tell this story to every South African.
They can't believe it.
So you scan your own stuff. You put it in the bag. You tap your credit card or put cash in and you walk out the door. They take it one step further. So we have Woolies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We call it Woolies, not Woolies. It's Woolies.
We call it Woolies.
I know, but we would never call it Woolworths.
No, they don't even know. They don't know the real name.
Too long for them to bother.
Now, how's this one? If you've been chosen for the trial, I've received an invite, but being here, obviously haven't downloaded it.
What are they trialing?
You download the app. Mm-hmm. You take the item off the shelf. You scan it with your phone.
Yeah.
Put it in your bag, in your trolley. And when you walk out, you tap your phone against the reader and go. So your Apple Pay takes care of it, and you just walk.
I love that.
I mean, also our shop's open till midnight.
I love
that. This is all great and well, but how do they get past the...
They just don't steal.
They just don't.
They do.
And not
we
even...
We have crime.
Yeah.
But generally, the percentage of it versus what it costs to pay people minimum wage... It's cheaper to let people just steal the odd Coke.
Stop.
To pay $25 an hour. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So I suppose, I mean, that could be something that we might head to eventually. I don't think South Africans are necessarily more deceitful and thieving than anyone else, but maybe we can get there.
But, I started printing my slip because I was scared they'd check me.
Yeah, of course, because we're paranoid the whole time. Yeah. We did that in London. We went to that pharmacy and we paid by credit card.
It was a cool experience and you figure everything out yourself.
No, normal. And then, of course, you order everything online and it arrives and they just leave it lying outside your door.
Once again, trust goes into that.
Yeah, it's trust. The big negative is dobbing.
Dobbing?
So we dob you in. So
what
if I do
Harry
something
Potter
wrong.
Is that?
Yeah. So let's say you do something wrong. You're driving holding your phone.
Oh.
I report you.
Is that called dobbing?
It's called dobbing. We dob you in.
So I
go online and I take your registration and I report you for using your phone and you get nailed.
People are telling on each other the whole time.
Yeah.
So if you leave your rubbish out in the wrong
day, they'll dob you in.
They dob you in.
Yeah.
And what kinds of things did they dob you for?
Anything. Noise.
What have you been
rubbish.
Dubbed for?
Yeah, did
no,
you
I haven't
learn
yet.
The hard way.
Goody, goody two shoes.
It's ridiculous. You know what I did here? But you know what I did? The first thing I did when I got back, I drove on the highway at 100 and something k's an hour.
Just because you need it.
I need it too.
So just get that out of your system for a while.
If someone sees you driving badly, they dob you in.
Well, the cameras will pick you up anyway. They're everywhere.
I've heard it's crazy, though, because people, even if you jaywalk on a totally quiet street
at a
totally quiet time of day, someone somewhere is watching you and you're going to get reported.
But not only that, so our pedestrian crossing,
you
could tell the difference between a tourist and an Australian.
Yeah.
The tourist will stop and look. The Australians just walk. They step off the pavement and they're actually on their phones and they walk. They know the car will stop. Now, I don't know how they know it's not a tourist driving, but they just step off because the cars just stop. And that's how it is.
So how much government is there in Australia in terms of, because here in South Africa, we complain about them all the time, but very few people.
And ours are terrible as well. We've just changed our prime minister.
I know
just,
that, they took a vote. You have such an unstable government every year or two, there's another a new prime minister.
Yeah.
But that aside, the politics aside, how much does government actually get into people's lives? Because here, it's very seldom. If you think about it, really, it's in the news. You don't know who your local MP is. You don't care. You break the rules
whenever
you
can. Honestly, can't say because I also don't care. I think it's still the South African in me. I don't know who they are.
You don't know.
I don't really care. And they're all full of shit. So, you know, just...
Yeah, it's interesting. Huh? It doesn't matter. More things change, more they stay the same. And I think all over the world, it's moving to a point where we don't need these guys.
No. We are looking at trialing things like the digital identity.
Mm-hmm.
Already in the airports, you can self-check yourself out of the country with your retina scans and that.
Oh, wow. They can do a retina scan?
Yeah, they can scan you. And then also...
Is that comfortable to you? Sorry,
I'm not a citizen, so I don't apply.
But in...
Oh, yeah, I'd love it.
The movement towards
why not? I'd put a chip in me if we can.
I've met
some futurists that have. They've put NFC chips. So to get onto public transport, they tap their hand and it reads the card. Or they pay with their hand.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
it's going that route. Oh, we have to say route.
Oh, not route.
Not route.
So I'll ask where the route is.
Because rooting someone is having sex with them.
Correct. Yeah. So you don't
I'm
take a route.
See that Sheila over there? I'm going to
route her. Yeah. So it's a route. And on my show, I kept saying, like, I couldn't find the router. And they all look at me, what? I was like, yeah, the router to connect to the Wi-Fi. You mean the router? So I had to learn quickly. But yeah, it's very, very digital. In fact, you have to vote. It's law. You can go to jail if you don't vote.
Australia is one of the few countries in the world that makes voting compulsory.
Yeah, it's compulsory. You can spoil your vote.
What's the minimum age?
18.
So everyone over 18
you have to go.
Legally has to vote.
You're allowed to spoil your ballot when you're there because then
it proves
that you were there.
Yeah.
But if you don't go, they'll fine you.
Yeah. And they can jail you.
Yeah.
For
not voting. You know, in a country like South Africa, you've got to actually respect that, though. You fight for your right to say. Mm. Now, exercise. And that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, in our country, we know it's the minority of people that go to the polls.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
the majority of people don't care.
That's probably why it's so messed up.
Do you think things would be different in South Africa if everyone had to vote?
It depends on what different means. It could be different.
Would we have a different
ruling party? I don't think so, because then the percentages of the voting population still vote the same way. Now it's just everyone in that population would vote that way.
Mm.
I don't know. But no politics. Let's move on to the fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always curious because you've had this idea of how technology is improving our lives, and very often it's played out well ahead of its time. You pick up on trends. This is one of the reasons that Futurology was so popular when you guys were doing it. What are the things that you see globally that are happening that excite you at the moment? Everybody's still talking. I went to South by Southwest 2 years ago. They were still going on about AI, robotics, machine learning, and there was a little bit of discussion around drones, some nanotechnology. What are the things that is anything changing? I mean,
no,
same
I think we're seeing the big focus, and I think where if I was going to bet.
Hmm?
Is the VR, AR discussion or mixed reality, the MR space.
MR.
Mixed reality. Mm. So the mixed reality.
This is the first time I heard about that.
Yeah. So AR is when you use a device to
augmented
see stuff.
Augmented reality.
Correct.
Yeah.
VR is when you immerse into a headset.
Virtual reality.
Virtual. And then mixed reality is when you'll have your headset that has cameras that can see the outside world as well. So it brings in a combination of the outside world and the emerged world.
You got those headsets already?
Yeah, Magic Leap has just finally launched with it. HoloLens is a very good example of that. That's Microsoft's product. Mm-hmm. But
did you just get a fanboy?
Yeah, I'm still a fanboy.
I'm still Mac.
I do. I hate them. I don't. I say that every week as well. But
wow, your heart's
I have
not
to no no.
That.
But I have to give them credit on the HoloLens.
Okay.
The limitations of it is that it has a narrow field of view. It looks like watching a movie with the black lines.
Yeah.
But it does both. It brings in augmented content through its camera tech, and it can immerse you into a built environment. I've got a colleague who's training crane operators, Roger Lawrence, Roger 42. I'll give him a shout out. He trains them how to train and use a crane without actually physically getting into the crane. So using this mixed reality lens, they can see
doctors
everything.
Doctors already using this technology in some
and that's
places.
That's telemedicine, so that's really cool. That's been for a while,
but
the trust factor's there. You get sick, you want to see a doctor. If there was surgery, I'd rather have a robot perform it on me because of the precision.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to actually identifying what's wrong, you need to speak
being
to me.
Being diagnosed.
Correct.
You need the
human touch.
Sure.
Now, that's the next exciting thing we've seen. It's Alibaba. They've now got their machine learning algorithm to put together 20,000 words a second. And it writes. It can write a book in a second. It puts 20,000 words together.
Based on what? Your
well, it's
your
based
purchases?
On the infinite, I think it's called the infinite monkey theory or the infinite chimpanzee theory, that if you gave an infinite number of chimpanzees typewriters.
Someone would eventually type Shakespeare.
Correct. It's that theory. They've now put that theory into a machine, and it generates whatever you need
to. So it's churning out actual readable stuff that people might consider valuable.
Correct. So now that it's learning that, the next thing to ingest would be emotion, to understand human psyche and human emotion.
Yeah, and
that's where we'll go.
That's a big data thing, right?
Huge data.
But you can figure it out, because humans are mostly predictable.
We are. And that's why the algorithm always gets it right to a percentage of 80 or 90%.
So I've been paying a lot of attention over the last 10 years or even more, I think, to this idea that machines are already approaching a point where they can think faster and process
Singularity.
Faster.
Singularity.
Right.
2025.
Well, that's what they're saying. Kurzweil says that. But, you know, they mastered chess.
Yep.
And they've beaten Garry Kasparov.
They opened doors.
Then they beat Go.
Yep,
which is the much more potential outcome game than chess, and they've beaten that. So what's the next? How will we measure when we get to singularity? I mean,
have you seen Sophia? So
no.
Sophia's the humanoid. She's a Dubai citizen. There's 25 of her around the world. So I got to meet and actually interview one of her developers, who's Ben from Singularity.
Yeah,
and she. You actually stare at her chest because that's where her cameras are.
Oh.
So under her shirt is these Xbox cameras and all that. But they've put Flubber on her, which is the Hollywood skin that they use to mimic human. And and she sits there and she goes, "This is me sad," and pulls a sad face. "This is me happy."
Oh,
and so then she talks to you and she computes. So she looks at your emotion. She can see that you're being serious and her face changes. And then she draws from her database and she talks back to you seriously. If you're jovial with her, she'll lighten up.
Which a lot of therapists can already say there's this mannerism of people mirroring each other.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. You brought up therapy.
Yeah.
They did some research. They did some surveys. And specifically with people suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, they would be more comfortable talking to an algorithm or a machine than a human, because a human will judge.
Well, what
a machine won't.
Surely people also with antisocial anxiety problems,
there we go.
You know, they would be the ones who'd want to talk to a machine rather than a person.
So I'm going
to
say that singularity timeline is accurate. The machines
so
will pass us 2025.
So we got 6 years odd to just, if we can get to there, we could end up being replaced.
Being their slaves.
Wait.
Okay.
They said by 2025,
we
machines will
reach a point.
Be smarter than us, and they will be able to do more than we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll become the machines.
How do you like that?
Alrighty, I have...
Sears leaving the building.
I have 7 more years.
So you might want to become friends with Elon Musk and jump on one of his little spaceships to go to Mars or wherever he's planning to go.
And you see the positive in this.
Unfortunately,
not to say you're oblivious.
No, I do see the positive. Unfortunately, if it's humans teaching machines, then they're going to learn our evil ways as well. which means that they can become maniacal by 2027 or 2028.
Well, that's if they... I mean, everybody always assumes that the machines want to take us out, but that might not figure into
Hollywood.
Their world at all. Yeah, of course, but Hollywood... Who was it? Was it Arthur C. Clarke who said, I imagine what the machines would do at their worst so you can prevent it from happening? I think it was him, someone, some science fiction writer.
Now what happens is you get some little pimply 15-year-old hacker that decides to drop a line of code that's malicious into a server somewhere that then overrides the machine code. You know, I don't know. I don't think it ends well. I don't think we'll be around, but I don't think it ends well.
So you're a machine pessimist in the long run.
But I'm encouraging it, and I'm also accepting the fact that we can't stop it. It started.
Yeah.
So it's what we do with it.
Well, as I explained to someone the other day, you know, it's all good and well the moment where we think at the same level as the machines because we can still compete.
But
1 minute after that, they've doubled their ability to compute, and then suddenly we are retrograde.
You know what the bigger fear, though, is how lazy we're becoming. So I now can go, hey, Google, turn on the TV. What happened to just picking up a freaking remote and pushing a button?
You know,
the smart home.
You know what I did the other day? Look at this. This is what I did. I was lying in bed. I was so lazy. I go, hey, Siri.
Watch all of our phones go now.
What's the time?
It's 7:29.
You are serious.
And you couldn't just look at your watch.
I didn't have my watch on. I was in bed.
So you didn't want to roll over.
No,
and get your phone, but it's true.
That's what I'm saying. We're becoming more dependent on the machines. You remember the Wall-E Disney show where they're lying on their beds and they're just floating and food.
Yeah, humans are useless. That's my
problem with future trends and how technology is incorporated into our lives. I get it, and it's great when it is, you know, for medical use, and that's all amazing. But a friend of mine was talking to me about, you know, smart homes and how they have this ability to now have a computer run their own bath and they can set the temperature.
Microwave as well.
Y'all.
Does it for you. Takes the recipe from Amazon and builds.
What happens to taking a few steps to your bathroom and sitting on the bathtub, on the side of the bathtub as you wait for the water to run?
Invite me back in 5 years and let's have this discussion, because you won't be doing it because your home will be built for it.
What quality of life will we be living then in 2025?
And that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't be scared of the machines. We should actually be scared of ourselves, that we're just becoming lazy.
So on a practical level, what will humans be doing if, you know, robots are taking over manufacturing things.
I don't think it's going to be that severe to start. I still believe we have a function. All the manual jobs will be gone. You know what I mean? We won't need to build cars. Mm-hmm. The machine will do that for us. In fact, we won't need cars.
What about these big corporations? I'm interested in your take on them, because the last time we spoke about this was 2 years ago. Google, Facebook, Amazon's now the biggest company in the world.
Yep. And Apple, the four.
Apple, are these our friends? Microsoft, okay. Number five.
I have a very different view on that. Mm-hmm. Most people say, no, they're not our friends. I'll say, yes, they are friends, because the simple reason is that we've actually brought them into our lives. And if you turned all four of them off tomorrow, what would we do? I mean, when the internet goes down, what... Our show wouldn't be there.
We wouldn't have,
So,
we'd
you
be
know,
in big trouble.
We need them. Mm-hmm. Have I covered the camera on my laptop? No, I don't care. If they want to spy on me, they can spy on me.
Yeah.
If you're going to be that stupid that you're going to put something online or do something you shouldn't be doing, then don't do it.
But at the same time, realize there's no privacy.
No,
just realize.
But you know, that's what I'm saying.
You're doing criminal things,
that,
or you're doing something that's really dodgy, you're going to be caught. That's all.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'd rather live in a world where those dodgy people are caught and
100%.
Where they can be figured out than live in a world where you take your chances.
100%. So I'm not scared of it.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of them.
Okay.
I think that they have their place. I think what I don't like about the Big Four is the fact that they wield incredible power and they never held to account. Like now, Facebook lost another 50 million accounts, or, you know, the passwords were hacked.
Yeah. Mm.
No, sorry, we're terrible. Please forgive us. How do we make it better? They just like send out a statement.
Yeah, by the way, you've been hacked.
Yeah, you know, that's not cool. If that happened here, here in Cliff Central, you did something wrong.
No, it'd be a big
Everyone
trouble.
Would be over you. You get legal letters. You got to defend the action. Yeah. They're like, we'll get over it. That part I have a problem with, you know.
We're all coughing and spluttering this morning.
Wow.
Bless you.
Yeah. It's interesting. Someone actually referenced the book Everybody Lies to Me over the weekend.
It's true.
I just...
No, it's true.
Have you heard about this book?
I actually have a statement when I pitch to new clients. And I start off with, no one lies to a search engine.
Mm.
So an example I use is you'll go into Google and you'll say, I've got this green thing under my toe. You know? Because you do. But you'll go into Facebook and you'll say, I've got perfect feet. My friend has this green thing under her toe. What should she do?
My favorite one is couples. Like, they're having huge relationship problems and they hate each other and they can't figure out any way to see the bright side. They basically want a divorce and they can't stand being in the presence of each other. But on Facebook, they'll say,
it's awesome. Everything's great. I'm so
happy with my husband. We're so great and he's my love. Yeah. But then on Google, she's busy searching, how do I kill this motherfucker?
I really want to get my hands on this book because it was written by someone who looked at a whole bunch of data in the United States.
From search engines.
Yeah. Yep. And was able to say what happened on or around Obama's inauguration, where racism really is, how relationships are tainted, this whole connotation of basketball players came from the project. Well, no. With science, all of this is debunked.
I think if we can quickly swing at 180 and talk about podcasting, because the fact that we're sitting here and talk, I mean, it's so good to see how it's changing here.
Yeah.
You know, that you guys are again the track. Look, podcasting's big there.
Massive, right?
Yeah. Everyone, when you speak to someone, they go, how was your commute into the city? And I was like, I'm listening to this amazing podcast. Or they go to gym and they listen to a podcast.
Mm.
Got to remember, we're a commuting city. So everyone has earpods in the whole time. And they switched off from the world and they consuming content. They're either listening to audiobooks
or
podcasts.
You're kind of living in their own world.
They do. They're actually selfish mofos.
That's kind of the way most people want to be. Sia and I were talking about this morning. He lives in a world now where he chooses everything that he decides to interact with and eat and consume and everything else.
And it's all about you. It's your personal thing.
Total solipsism.
Rather, when I do confront something where I have to go by someone else, I'm actually put off by that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? You want me to wait and you want me to watch your commercials? No thanks. I'm choosing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way, I think, a whole...
Netflix are dabbling with that, and that will be the beginning of the end for them if they do, if they start this advert ingestion shit. I'm paying for my Netflix. I'm therefore paying for the rights not to be advertised to.
Ah.
And they're trialing this now.
What are they trialing? In what way?
Put ads in. To their content, their own content. So they own their content, and they're saying, well, in order for us to keep making great content, which they do, Netflix is making some really good stuff.
Sure, of course.
They say, well, we need more money. Your $10 a month is not enough. We're going to put ads. I'm like, no, you're not. Because then I can go to DSTV.
So let's talk about jobs for a second, because I would imagine that you also watching what's happening in the world of employment and jobs and future jobs and what people will be doing in 10 years' time and what jobs are going to go out of fashion. I mean, there are a lot of jobs that just aren't going to be necessary eventually. We talk all the time in this country about unions and car manufacturers, and you already said just a while ago, eventually the machine will make the car, and it'll make it to a greatest level of specification. And
it's called a Tesla. I drove one the other day. They're fantastic. Oh, it's magic. It's just like driving inside software. So
and
they don't
use a lot of people in their factories, right?
No,
it's mostly machines. So those people are going to
end up. So the jobs we're really seeing it disappear. We don't have receptionists. Wherever I go, you don't sign into a building like we do here in South Africa. There isn't anyone at the gate. Well, we don't have parking.
We don't have security guards in most of the world.
You just walk into the building and you go up. You walk into the office and someone looks over and goes, who's this and who are you here to see? And so straight away, the front of house position is gone. Then when you start going into the business, your technologists, you were just talking now with everyone nice to me in the Google data. Mm. I play in that space. That's what I do daily. We have so much data, we don't need strategists. So we can take the data, can build an audience for us, and we can buy the media against it. And it's all done automatically. So, you know, we put in what we think. The machine says you're wrong. You should rather be targeting this based on what they're searching for, what the intent signals are.
It just plugs the stats straight in, right? Mm. Yeah.
So that job disappears. The power to be able to create stuff. The reason I'm here, the training, is we represent a South African product there called Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And you just drag and drop it. Next minute, within an hour, there's a product built online.
Beautiful.
So it's all about this self-help, self-build, and self-publish. Hence the podcasting and that as well. Everyone can do anything. Camera, mic, celebrity.
You're suddenly all over, yeah. Okay, just hold on. Hold that thought because Sean's on the line. Hey, Sean, what do you want to ask?
Well, morning, guys. I don't want to ask something. I just want to actually tell you. You guys are talking about, you know, robotics and these sort of things that will take over work from us humans. Now, I'm in the construction industry, and I don't know if you guys have got any idea, when you buy a piece of property or a piece of land, you need to get a survey in, basically plot certain points to you on this thing. Yep. Have you guys got any idea what the cost of a survey is per point?
No.
You know, so what's interesting is that the construction industry is actually the last ones to not become integrated into modern technology. You still need people with instruments.
Yep.
You need a guy with a trowel and some cement. I mean, it's an incredible thing. But that's one of the few areas that hasn't been, let's say, digitized or intermediated yet. And it's unlikely to be for some time. So you make a very good point.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna tell you what company I work for, but I will tell you that it is happening. So a surveyor, the cost of a surveyor is roughly around 1,800 rand per point, or between 2,000 and 5,000 rand an hour. That's what they charge you. Now, on a decent sized site, you're looking at about, let's call it 120 points. So we've now replaced a surveyor with a machine that basically connects to a prism and a tablet, and you put this machine up, and you walk around, and you'll plot this out. So instead of the contractor now getting a surveyor and paying him that amount of money, this robotic laser has basically taken over that function. You walk around with your tablet, and this thing will direct you to where you need to go, and you can plot.
Sean, sorry to cut you off, mate. I'll give you a projection of the future. You just said it. You go and put the machine in, and it makes sense that you would do that. We lost him. But in the future, we'll use drones. We won't even have to have a person walk around putting that surveying point. The drone will just do it. So
and
that makes sense,
and
but the brick layer still needs to be a human.
And you're going
to
need, until we've developed, I mean, there are machines that can pack a brick, squeeze it together, you know, put it in the right place. You've seen these things that are on tracks. But obviously, that's a long way off from being able to put up a
the
skyscraper.
The design side is interesting, though, Gareth.
Yeah,
staying with construction.
Listen, that's all totally digitized.
You don't need architects anymore.
No, and all the engineers do their work on machines.
Yep.
It's just, I mean, no one's actually sitting there with a blueprint anymore.
I know. So that's where it gets exciting. I think, like, hairdressers. I'm not going to sit there and have a machine cut my hair. You know, so there's certain jobs that will...
All right, so everybody become a hairdresser if you're worried about the future.
That's where the
You know what is interesting is what we're seeing is in food. So you can now 3D print food.
Yes.
And you can get machines making food. In fact, we were talking about it the other day. There's a burger bar in San Francisco that makes your hamburger for you with no humans. The only human intervention is the guy that delivers it to the table. But the machine, you tell it what you want, how you want it, what sauces and that, and it spits it out.
That's amazing.
So those type of things will be automated. I don't know if I'd want to sit on a plane and have a machine fly me, but equally, I also don't want a pilot who's just come home and found his wife cheating and goes, well, that's that, I'm taking you all out with me. The machine will never have that problem. So there's pros and cons.
That's true. I like the idea of, you know, machines will make mistakes. And
sure.
This is why people...
And they're going to make big ones.
People lose their minds whenever a Tesla car or a self-driving Google car, they smash into something, which is going to happen. Usually it's because a human in some other vehicle's got in the way. And they haven't completed all the possible outcomes for these
vehicles. Well, I had a close call with that. I was driving the Tesla.
Yeah.
And my business partner was sitting in the back filming. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking away, and he said, let's go into autonomous mode. So he goes, doot, 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 doot. And I take my hands off the wheel.
Yeah.
Now, we're driving through a suburb, right? We're not on the highway. And when we watched the video afterwards, we had the revelation. He's talking to the salesman saying, by the way, does the car see the traffic lights? And the salesman goes, no, not yet. It isn't mapped in Australia. And it doesn't see dogs yet either. It sees humans. And their lights in the background. And I'm talking away, and my hands are going, and I'm looking all over, and we're just driving.
Wow.
So if those lights had been red, we would have just gone
straight through.
Shucks.
But it tells you to touch the wheel every 60 seconds, okay. So it knows that you're paying attention.
And that you're awake.
And you're awake. If it doesn't, okay. An alarm goes off. If you don't respond, the car pulls over, and they call for help. So it's great. But
sure. Here
he is telling me to go autonomous, and I'm going autonomous, and I've got blind faith on the machine, but we could have wiped ourselves out.
That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
But it was fun.
All right. Wow. Well, Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages, and this is a series that we've just put out, and you can listen to it on cliffcentral.com. Maya Fisher-French speaks to various experts as they help us to find answers to pressing financial questions like financial wellness, saving for retirement, making sure that you have the correct health care, navigating the gig economy, what we were just talking about, saving from a millennial perspective, how to get married and how that would affect you financially. I mean, by how to get married, we mean what does it mean for your money.
Yeah.
And Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. You know they're not just a health insurance provider, right? The show is every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and all 12 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, so you can download them all and binge the lot of them. You can even go back and listen to an episode again. I know even people here at Cliff Central who listen to it have changed the way they save, they've changed the way that they structure their finances, and you can do the same. These are the kind of tips that if you hear them when you're early in your financial life, in your financial kind of timeline, you can set yourself up to end up very, very well off at the end of it. It's all about time. Time is the greatest component of that compound interest equation.
Mm.
You have time, you have money. So make sure you don't miss it. That's all on cliffcentral.com, and you can get it on our app or anywhere you get your podcasts. We were talking to Brett Levy's here. He's come in to visit us from Sydney, and we spoke to him last probably about 2 years ago.
Yep.
When he made the move, telling us about all the things that are happening there, all the things that are happening in automation and technology and futurology, all the stuff that he discussed every week here on cliffcentral.com for a long, long time, and he's now got his own podcast. What's it called?
It's called Technology,
mm-hmm.
and it's spelled tech and then K, knowledge, where we translate geek into regular speak. So
very
we've
nice.
Gone from predicting future
very
to helping
nice.
People understand technology.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we're having good fun. I say we. I have a co-host. It works better for me. I mean, you remember the show we had with Brett and Brett?
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's Ari and Brett.
Three Bretts.
There were. Yeah, that's right. B1, yes. B2, and B3. In fact, I'm seeing Brett. I'm seeing Brett Lindsay tonight. I'm going to have a catch up with him.
All right, good.
And we're on a platform not as big as you guys are. It's called Eagle Waves Radio.
Yeah.
We record in a little coffee shop, so you've got the sound effects of coffee going on the background.
Oh, nice.
Every week we record the show, and
you shouldn't
it's
have
available
said
on
sound
iTunes.
Effects. We actually would have believed you that it was actually happening in a coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear the background sounds and effects,
okay,
you know.
Right.
And, yeah, you'll find it on iTunes and that if you –
well, a couple of people are saying, I'm listening to Brett. This is Jared. He says the fact that everything is so clinical in Oz is the reason they piss everyone off when they go to other countries and behave like animals.
It's true.
But they do. They go to Thailand.
You're
and
right.
To, you
and
know,
they go to Vegas on the strip. It's the Aussies that are the.
They always get arrested.
He's 100% right.
They finally
they
feel free.
I just said the same thing. I got into the highway and I drove a car over the limit just to get it out of my system.
See, it's like those people who, when you were at school, were raised by very strict parents and their parents said, "You will not drink. You will not do this." Those are the ones who get shit faced.
And get fillings. Every single tooth gets a filling because they were never allowed sugar growing up. I've known people like that.
There we go.
You take that, Mom, while I eat that Hershey bar.
Jared also says there's an amazing podcast from Freakonomics called How Big Is My Penis? Stevens Davidovitz has many years of studying Google Analytics, and that's worth a listen. Yeah, I mean, you could really make there's a course worth studying at university is just the analytics that Google could give you. And a lot of the stuff is
it's ridiculous,
public,
actually.
Right? You can actually –
you can. You buy it, yeah. And you download it, and then you ingest it into your machine learning tools, and it spits out all kinds of weird,
sure.
wonderful things.
Yeah, I mean, you could find out amazing things about the way people think. I reckon that Google's probably got a better handle than all the psychologists in the world in a conference.
I'd agree with that. And as I said just now, no one lies to a search engine.
That's right.
You give it its truth.
Because
it learns from pure source.
You want the answers,
right?
You
want the answer, yeah.
Yeah, people lie to therapists and psychologists, but they're not going to lie to Google. Well, that's what that book, Everyone Lies, is all
Everybody
about.
Everybody Lies.
That's what I was talking about.
Yep.
All right, so lots of people also coming in with questions about drones and robots and all that kind of thing. I mean, are there any gadgets that you've discovered in the last little while that really got you excited? Because I went into a shop the other day, and I'm a gadget guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I love, you know, I bought one of those first rudimentary drones, and it kind of disappointed me quite a lot, and I haven't been able to pluck up the courage to go and spend a whole lot more on one of the newer ones. I got the new iPhone, not the XS, but the X the other day. I'm not that blown away by it. Have we become a bit jaded?
Yeah.
We expect everything
expecting way
now.
More. So the one thing I did come across was a cell phone case for an iPhone with an e-ink on the back.
What's
so you could
that?
Just, like an e-ink reader, like a Kindle. So you could read on the back of your phone. So it's a second screen.
What?
Yeah, it was called Axis or something.
How does that work?
I'm glad I'm not the only one confused.
And it goes through Bluetooth, and it just pushes the book, so you don't use your phone's battery. And then also with batteries dying, you could leave your calendar or something on that screen. So even if your phone's off, you can see your schedule. It was novel. It was a gizmo.
That's quite cute.
But I'm in agreement with you. I'm not seeing anything that's come out that I've gone, geez, I have to have that. I need that in my life now. I need more. There's not, the phones look the same. The headsets, I'm using a Jabra headset. I'm not using the AirPods.
Oh, yeah? I don't like those AirPods.
They've got better features. They fit more comfortable.
You know, a good pair of really, you know, noise
canceling
headphones is way better than those little AirPods.
Well, that's what
AirPods.
I've got.
Yeah.
I mean, I know no one can really see us, but yeah, it's a little package.
Oh, wow. It's tiny. It's just little. It looks
actually,
like a pillbox.
They fit into your ear properly.
That's amazing.
They're proper noise repeaters.
Dude, those are cool.
And they have an app.
So when you're traveling around Sydney, you're on those?
Yeah.
And you're listening to whatever podcast you're listening to.
Obviously, your show, Gareth. I mean,
yeah,
it's downloaded.
You don't have to blow smoke up my back. So I'm sure you've got a bunch of podcasts.
I actually lately been listening to some audiobooks, like, you know, nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time I get to read. In fact, that's a funny terminology, right? We read audiobooks. I'm still out onto that one.
Yeah.
Do we?
Audio, what do you
classify
say?
As
you
reading?
Listen.
You say, I listen audiobooks. To audiobooks.
But you're reading a book. You know what I mean? It's like a weird one. I don't know.
I love audiobooks.
I don't know if we take it in as much as we do with the actual act of physically holding and reading with our eyes. Like we do, I don't know. There must
That's
be a study.
Interesting.
On
you
it.
Reckon the jury's still out on that?
I do. I think my retention's lower by listening than I do by reading. Because reading, you're actually focusing in on that page. Listening, I'm kind of still visually seeing other stuff. So I'm not sure. But
each his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still better than not reading, right? I mean, you're still learning stuff the whole time.
Well, I know some people who swear by audiobooks and podcasting because to them it's like being in a conversation with someone and then they're able to go out and retell what they heard.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm one of those people.
That's
I need
why podcasts
to,
are so big yeah, for us.
I need
you
to
can
read
get
and
that
take
quick
it
fix.
Mm.
You can choose a topic because there's everything. So if you want to be an expert in drones, you'll find a podcast on drones.
Sure.
Listen to it in 20-30 minutes. I think that's the secret as well. Anything under an hour can be ingested because, again, we travel for over an hour. I mean, I've got a guy that works with me. He does an hour and a half from the train each direction.
Ooh.
Oh every day.
God, that is outrageous.
But it's normal.
3 hours
no,
of
I know
your
that people
day.
Who do
normal
that.
For them.
I know that people who do
but
that
they get
here.
To watch a whole movie or listen to a whole book or catch up on a whole podcast, which you and I don't get.
Yeah, it's
so
almost
there's,
like
there's
bonus,
enrichment there.
It's bonus time.
It's enrichment.
Yeah. And I always say that podcasting is like university for adults.
Yeah.
You know, smart people listen to various kinds of input content options because they want to improve their brains.
And that's what it is.
Oh.
You know, and I don't know if we're seeing it here in South Africa, but the older generation are getting a lot of benefit from podcasts because they can now come up to speed with a topic based on what they can.
You've got to show them how to do it.
Yeah,
they don't always get it. They're like, oh, I tried to listen, but I don't know which
radio. Trying to explain Uber
to
someone was really hard.
Is it 100.8 megahertz? No.
Where do I tune it in the car?
No, it's amazing to me. Like podcasting, it's now become a thing, and it's really starting to take off here in South Africa. People get it. But man, for the last 4 years, people got Facebook fairly quickly because they had to.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I'm not on Facebook. And then 2 weeks later, I'm on Facebook and I'm suddenly linked up to all my friends. So I think podcasting, because it's not a social network situation, is a little bit slower to catch on.
Yeah. But I think that it will actually replace normal radio.
Because it already is, yeah.
We were talking now about how we consume what we want to consume. All three of us here now, I guarantee, are watching something different on Netflix or whatever we watch.
By the way, what are you watching?
At the moment, I've just finished Westworld 2. What a great series.
I fell off, dude. I mean, I just eventually when they were fixing the robots there and the robots are like malfunctioning, I just kind of lost it.
Season 2 is even better because it's Uncharted. You know, Crichton wrote to season 1.
Yeah.
The movie was exactly the same. What happens in season 2 was pretty good. But okay. I'm now on Orange is the New Black, the latest one. Yeah. That's what I'm watching
Maybe
at the moment.
Maybe I should give Westworld a try again.
For me, though, being a techie, like the concept and talking about Sophia, the humanoid, and then seeing Westworld. Yeah. So for those that don't know what Westworld is, it's like a place where you can go and
it's like a
do what you want
where
to machines.
Humanoid robots.
Yeah, then you can do what you want
you can
to them.
Shoot them, you can have sex with them, you can drown them in the river. Yeah. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You pay to play.
So psychopaths, there's now an outlet for it's you. You don't have to do it in the real
it's
world.
It's filled with Aussies.
And you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell or to prison.
Yeah.
You get away with it then.
What are you watching?
Silver Lining.
Yeah. I started Stranger Things.
Oh, that was good.
Because I know it was a long time ago that they started it. And I kind of got into that, but I've
and the hype is still there.
Let it slide a bit.
Yeah.
And then I've been binging on Marvel movies. I know it's super
geeky. They're so slow.
Dude.
Really? Like, you're talking about Iron Fist and Jessica Jones?
No. I'm talking about
the actual movies.
Yeah, no,
I thought you meant the series.
No,
oh, my
series,
God,
no.
They're slow. Mm. And you have to watch them in order because
that's
the Punisher
right.
appears and
you don't know where Thor Ragnarok is before. Is it before
the
Avengers?
Yeah, the movies
Avengers?
Look okay.
Oh.
But,
no, I love the movies.
But,
I'm not talking about
the
TV
series.
Just
save yourself those hours. You like?
I'm not going to do the series.
No, they're terrible.
I'm not into that.
They're good, but they're terrible because they're just so slow. But if you're like a fan of the Punisher or Daredevil or whatever, you want to watch it. You know, but yeah, it's slow.
I would imagine that there are also a lot of potential new content offerings in the world, and a lot of them might be served up in a different way to audiobooks, podcasts, or TV series. I don't know what else is
games.
On the horizon. Games.
The whole game revolution with esports and e-gaming. I mean, I'm seeing people paying $35, 350 rand to go to a movie house to watch the broadcast of the finals of a Dota tournament. You know? It's big money.
Is it true that the gaming business is bigger than movies?
Yes.
Music?
Yes.
And sport combined?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Take my 12-year-old. Okay, he's playing a game called Fortnite now. Now, incidentally,
all I'm hearing is about this 200 Fortnite.
200 divorces this year already because of Fortnite in the States.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how much money this kid has spent on Fortnite, buying emotes, which is like a dance.
Yeah?
So, do you know the movie The Hunger Games?
So you buy, it's like a freemium thing. You play
you
and
play
then,
for free,
you can
but
buy
you have
add-ons.
To buy to... Okay. Yeah, but, and then to get into the next level, you have to buy the battle pack. So the movie Hunger Games, have you watched Hunger Games?
Yeah.
The premise for those that haven't is
Katniss
people are put
and,
in there, they got to kill each other, last person stands.
Sure.
Same thing.
There are about three movies.
Correct.
Yeah.
Same concept. You're all in this area.
Yeah.
And then this
Your
storm,
real character. Your character.
Your character that you've got. But then you have to buy armor and you have to buy the way it flies. I don't know. I don't play it. He plays it.
All right.
But he has spent hundreds of dollars. I mean, the Fortnite guy has made $1 billion just from the add-ons, just from buying skins and emotes and all these things. And it's become currency for me. When my son wants to get his latest, I think they're called V-Bucks, to buy this stuff. I was like, great, mate. Rubbish bin needs to be emptied. Oh, no, Dad. Okay, well, no money for Fortnite. And then all of a sudden, the rubbish bin's emptied.
One of our lawyer friends was in yesterday. We had a meeting with him, and he was telling me, he forces his kids to do outside activities like actual sport, and then he gives them
Fortnite time. I've had to do the opposite now. So we're an outside community. You know, we walk, we go everywhere. So we do spend time, and at school, the kids are outside.
Yeah.
I've had to program my modem. Luckily, I'm tech savvy enough to do so.
I wouldn't want you as a dad. If I were a kid, I wouldn't be able to short circuit your plans. Sure.
Yeah. No. So I have to turn his devices off, his phone, his tablet, his computer.
At 12 years old.
I have to leave all mine on so I can still function.
But you've programmed that to...
But his turns off. Well, his devices stay on, but his internet connectivity turns off.
Beautiful.
So now what happens is I go away and find my phone.
You could make...
I could make $1 billion
if you just taught other parents how to do that.
Look, there are apps for it as well. And there's little devices you can dump in the house and they'll automatically control it for you. But
so what are you saying about him when you switch these things off?
I think he goes and finds my phone and he turns a hotspot on and he reprograms himself.
Yeah. It's your kid.
So now they're like, lock my toys away.
Actually, you know? He is your child.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you know, the gaming thing that you mentioned, I've got friends who are obsessed with this stuff. They've built rooms in their house just to house all this equipment. It's like a universe they've built in there.
So when VR comes into play,
yes,
when the gaming engines evolve to the next stage that they're already evolving to, it will take away all forms of entertainment because you will now live through the eyes of that character. So you will
Avatar.
Play... Correct. Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. If you've watched that movie,
correct.
That is where we're going. We're seeing it already. There was a startup in Sydney that's built a hoverboard. Mm-hmm. So you put a VR headset on, you stand on this hoverboard, and you can now move by leaning forward and backwards. You can fly and move within the game environment.
That's phenomenal.
So you're already ingested into the game. This is startup stage.
Well, you haven't been sitting in your hands.
Yeah.
It's always good to catch up with you, Brett.
Yeah, it's been great.
And I'm glad that you've managed to make it back here to visit all of us. And I hope that you'll continue to keep contact, man.
Definitely
people,
will.
People like to hear from you. I'm getting lots of messages here from people. Ask Brett about Europe. Europe.
U-R-U-P.
You're up.
Who asked that?
Miss Lisa Fisser.
I don't know who Lisa Fisser is, but it's a great app. I mean,
what is it?
This is that tool that I came here for the training for.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's Europe.com, U-R-U-P.com, and the quick high level on it is that you drag and drop, and you can spin out a website or a training environment.
Okay.
It's a cool tool. Nicely built here in South Africa. They're all over the world. And we represent them in Australia and New Zealand.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Nice to see you, dude.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Keep well. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you again soon.
Good, good.
Let us know when you're around.
Awesome.
Fantastic. There
Thanks
he
a
is.
Lot. Cheers,
okay.
guys.
So you had a little bit of Brett Levy this morning. You weren't expecting to have some discussion around this stuff, but it's always worthwhile. And don't forget, Decrypto Episode 3 coming up next. One of the ideas that we often speak about in the context of global decentralized currency is the notion of being your own bank. But how practical is this really, and what is needed to make it a reality? This is episode 2 that we did last week. Lorian Gamaroff, the guy who can answer those questions for us. And today, another episode, a fresh one of Decrypto. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com. I hope you're ready for a good day. We're going to keep you company, look after you. Got a bunch of fresh programs on today and some of the series that you know and love. There'll also be a whole lot more in the next couple of months, so make sure you're paying attention. And we will keep you informed once there's something new on the lineup for you to go and take a look at, because I know a lot of people like to be the first to figure these things out. If you want that, then you can come to cliffcentral.com for more. Big thanks to Brett Levy. Big thanks to you. We will see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., bright and early.
Cliffcentral.com.